Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
We were in the middle of something. The Maharal was explaining why Daniel saw the four kingdoms in two separate dreams. Then one night he had a dream of three of them, Baval, Parsa, Madai, and Yavan, and they were different creatures. Baval was a lion. Parsa, Madai, there's two versions, if they were a bear or a wolf.
When did the wolf come in?
We never heard the wolf.
Over the summer?
It's a mattress. The mattress says that they were a wolf. And Yavan is a leopard. And then the next night, Daniel had a vision of this creature, this indescribable creature, fearsome creature, mighty creature. We have no idea what kind of creature the creature was. And that was his dream. It came out of the water. That was his dream. And he had them in two different nights. And the Bierkanen and Reish Lakish both agree that the reason why they were in two different nights is because the fearsome creature is connected to Edom, Rome, and Rome has the nature of all three kingdoms combined. And there's a machlekes between the Bierkanen and Reish Lakish whether that makes Rome equal to the other nations or greater. That's what we explained. So let's continue. Matzatzim and Medrash. So Maral found in the Medrash, Ki nasna l'malchus Bavel kesev v'zav v'yachad. That Bavel, they get silver, iron, gold. That's their metal. Bavel, the metal, silver, and gold. In the previous Medrash that the Maral brought, the Maral said that gold is Bavel's metal because gold represents chashivas. And that was their thing. You know, Bavel said, as long as they get to be chashev, as long as they're the king, they got what they wanted. And Zav is chashivas. Zav is not currency. Because you can't go into a store and buy a gumball with a $100 bill. And you certainly can't buy a gumball with a piece of gold. Can't do it. So the metal of Bavel is gold. Because they're not interested in buying things. They just want to have gold. Because gold makes you chashev. You have a golden crown. It's chashev. It's you rule. You had a melon. Could you buy anything with it? Yeah, like my grandmother would say, that and a token will get you a ride on the subway or the trolley. And if you have that, you have a whole bunch of gold and a token, then you can land on the trolley. But without the token, all the gold in the world, they won't let you on the trolley. But Bavel doesn't care, because they don't want to go on trolleys. They just want to be a king. They want to have a crown, they want to be a king. Parsa Madai, they just want to buy stuff. They're constantly online buying stuff. Amazon.com, eBay. They're just buying. They want silver. Silver is not as precious as gold, and because it's not as precious as gold, you could buy with it.
They were bronze.
No, that was Yavan. So they get the silver. They're silver. They're the silver alloy, the silver element, because they don't care about chashivas. They don't want to be a melech. That's all covered. They want stuff. They want all the stuff. They want everyone's stuff. And they're willing to kill in order to get stuff. But they're not killing for the sake of killing. They're killing to get stuff. It's Parsa Madai. Yavan was bronze. Because they're brazen. Bronze and brazen. It's even the same letters. B-R-A-Z-E-N, B-R-O-N-Z-E. They're brazen. Brazen bronze. The color of bronze is brazenness. It's a brazen color. And their thing is that if you're standing opposite them, you're going to go down, they're going to stay up.
What does that have to do with bronze?
It's a brazenness. They stare you down, and you go down, and they stay up. That's the nature of a leopard. You will never win a staring contest with a leopard.
Mumway did.
They conquer. And that's, you know, Yavin is Greek. It's Alexander the Great was Yavin. They conquer. You know, this town is not big enough for the both of us. Only one of us is walking out of here alive, and that's going to be me. And that's their thing. So you have the three. You know, there's Babel that they seek to rule, Parasamade to amass. Everything should come to them. The Yavin is that they should win. So that's the Aryeh. He's the king, so he's connected to the gold, which is the crown. He's the king of the forest. This medrash goes according to the version that Parasamada is a wolf, and wolves they grab things, they snatch things away, and that's connected silver. And then Yavin's a leopard is brazen-faced, and they conquer. You can't intimidate a leopard. Try intimidating a leopard, you can't intimidate a leopard. So here's another medrash. Kinas l'malchus baba kesev v'zav. The Babylonian has silver and gold. L'malchus Yavin habarzal. Yavin has barzal, which is iron. And according to this medrash, copper is not even mentioned. L'fi anir bar kitar stuff was it's a mistake. It's not about us. It's a mistaken medrash. Ki yev shalem akach. It's impossible to say that Babel has both gold and silver. And it's impossible to say that Yavin has iron. V'nei Daniel shura kaya shniya, shunama. Daniel saw the second kaya, which is a name. But the first one was a lion. Nebuchadnezzar was in the chayshis. And Nebuchadnezzar saw the second one as the chayshis. Hakol in yinechad. Daniel, what the Maral means here is Daniel had two visions, and his two visions matched the one vision of Nebuchadnezzar, because Daniel saw four creatures. Each one had a different nature, and Nebuchadnezzar saw a figure of a human with four metals, and they each matched up. And that's the way it goes. So what Daniel saw as the leopard, Nebuchadnezzar saw as copper. It just matches up. And the leopard is Yavin, and Yavin, you can't intimidate the leopard, and that's why it's copper, because it's brazen. So she doesn't match up. She can't switch the metals around. He said you can't get away with that. So it must be a mistake. So I call you Nechad. It's all one thing. Ki Neimel Az Panim. A brazen-faced person, Kamoshu Haname, Shu'az. The leopard is brazen-faced. It's like a cat. You know, a cat is. You know, you can't intimidate a cat. They rule. Cats, they have their own thing. You know, you have a dog, so then the dog belongs to the owner. You have a cat, the owner belongs to the cat. They're brazen-faced. When Daniel saw the leopard, he saw the leopard come out of the water. It had four wings. It had two sets of wings. It was a flying leopard, and it had four wings. What do the four wings represent? They're brazen-faced. They don't get intimidated. There's nothing it's going to stop them. They go. They just walk right into danger. They don't care. There's nothing, you know. There's no cowardice. There's no holding back. We're going to go. We're going. Maybe this is... No, we're going. Chu'azahokalik was a kol olam. They captured the entire world. Alexander the Great captured the entire world. Kimishena, as if someone's not brazen-faced, someone doesn't have the gumption, Yesh la kaiver ateva, so then, you know, it's not so easy for him to fly around. Yeah, stay home. You can walk outside, you might get hurt, you know. It's better safer to stay home. Kaiver ateva, you don't want to take risks, you might trip, you might fall. Mevakish ha'anocha, You just want to rest. Bein marakas atznua, and you don't want to move around. Aber mishu az.
Snua is move around.
Tznua, with a tav. Movement. Aber mishu az. Brazen, ukamayish. It's like fire. Kamayish amalamalke az ukamayish like fire. Fire is also the color of bronze. Asher in lahanaka klal. Fire never stops. Fire is one of the only things we have, one of the only things, that's never at rest. Never. It never stops. It never stops moving. That's why there's four wings, because four wings represents that you could fly in any direction. That's four wings. So think Alexander, Sha'ikr, V'machus, V'vias, Halach Lichmash Kal Oilam. Kamesh Yadulash. Halach Lichmash Kal Oilam. Mashli Asa Shem Melech. No other king ever tried to conquer the entire world. Zesh Ra'al Amamah Hazag Dal Gadrin. Four wings on the leopard. Sheyeh Pareyeh Kamay Oif Kal Dal Ruchas. You can go anywhere and everywhere and there's no traffic. It's like you can't get stuck in a traffic jam if you have four wings. You just fly above it. Because of Bishoshi Azim, Zederka Az, Bishokayach Azusa, you're so brazen, the Taikman so powerful, she writes to the Gabriel, Shakishanegdai, everything else has to go down. Achukayv Shesai, and then he has a drive to conquer, Bishokayach Azusa, and the powerful brazenness, Hailu Kalayim, there's no stopping him, Ligma Azusa, because there's no limits to brazen, there's no limits. I've got to go. We have to go and get out of the way. I'll run you over. You just keep going. You never run out of gas. There's no stop sign. There's no brakes. You've got a bulldozer without brakes. That's Azaz. Okay. Yavon has some point where they stop. They're not a lawnmower. They're not a paper shredder. As long as they captured you, they're fine. You could exist, but you exist under their boot. Because by them, the main thing is winning. And not a robber. They want you around. They want you around because... They want you around because then they could show, look what I overcame. You thought you're a man, you thought you're a boss, and I took you down. Marcus Aurelius is Rome, Edain, has all the kekas of all the other Malchias. Nishireya Atmashikol, the Marcus Aurelius views itself as if it's everything. It is the everything in creation. There is nothing that it doesn't have. Vein Dulasin, there's nothing outside of it. The definition of reality, of existence, is Rome. And anything that's not Rome is not real. That's different than Yavan. Rome does not seek to conquer. Yavan seeks to conquer. Rome does not seek to conquer. He writes to Shalaya Nimsa Echad, Rome seeks that anything else but itself shouldn't exist. That the only existence could be Rome itself. Lakaki writes to Shalaya Nimsa Echad, Lakaki Masasakar, Rome destroys. Vainza Rakashkasa, it destroys for the sake of destruction. And that's why the Neo, when he saw this creature, the teeth of the creature were iron teeth. Barzal is Rome, not Yavam. See, that the metals were mixed up in that medrash. Barzal is Rome. Kebarzal imashkes, because Barzal destroys. Makat is a kol, cuts everything down. Kamashi v'yanavim kainrei. Kol ni makat zirak lahashkes. Moshe sarv v'beis alakeinu. They burnt the Beis HaMikdash. Why did they have to do that? Did the Greeks burn the Beis HaMikdash?
It was around.
They put a pig in there. They tried to put a pig in there. Why didn't they? The Greeks didn't and the Romans did. Veins are rakashkasa, shinyay cells. Of Yafke, Amachas, Arishan, Gamkin, Sarva, Beis Lokeinu. Bavel burnt the Beis HaMikdash. So Bavel did the same thing the Rome did. So what's the difference between Babylonia and Rome? And you're going to say that Rome, by destroying the Beis HaMikdash through fire, means that they want to eliminate everything. Not rule over anything, not conquer over everything. Eliminate! That it should, you know, they say, to be or not to be. I'll be the to be, you're going to be the to not to be. You know, that's what Rome is. So how is Babylonia any different than Rome? And why is Babylonia a different creature than Rome? Why is Babylonia a different metal than Rome? They had a different motive in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. But they say, right to Lichbosh, that you saw talks to them, they wanted to rule. Well, here is a Mishum Ashkasa. They didn't want to destroy. Rach Mishpil Ki Amalkos Azois, right to Shemis Nasakol. They want to be above everyone else. The Ficha Chayakai from Yisrael, not the whole world. Babylonia did not seek to conquer the whole world. They wanted to be uplifted. That their malchus should be psh. That's what they wanted. They weren't interested in conquering the whole world. Whose culture is that, to conquer the whole world? That's the leopard, that's Yavar. But Bobo, they didn't want to conquer the whole world, they just wanted to conquer Klal Yisrael. Because when they conquer Klal Yisrael, people will go psh. They're these people. They are true, deserving of being monarchs. This is Mamish Bedakus. And Klai Yisrael, the only way they're going to go down, as long as Klai Yisrael has the Beis HaMikdash, you can't conquer Klai Yisrael. So they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash not because they enjoy destroying. They don't enjoy destroying. They enjoy ruling. But if the only way to rule is to destroy something, they'll do that also. So Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because they like to destroy things. And Babel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because that's the way to rule over the Bnei Yisrael. If you rule over Bnei Yisrael, you had stuff. He didn't destroy the people, they destroyed the bais. They destroyed the bais. This is what I'm saying. You say that when Goyim, all Goyim oppose Klal Yisrael in one form or another, but they don't all have the same form. If Babel could have ruled over Klal Yisrael without destroying the Beis HaMikdash, they would not have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. If Rome could rule over Klal Yisrael without destroying the Beis HaMikdash, they would do it anyway. Just because. That's Rome. Because they want to. They want to destroy things. They just like destroying things. It's the... Rome, there's enough Gemina when they destroyed it. Klal Yisrael was independent. And when Babel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that's when they finally gave up. The Beis Yisrael, they were independent. They were in an independent kingdom. They had their own kings. They weren't under the dominion of Babel. They were independent. And they weren't giving up. And they kept on saying, come on, give up. No, we're not giving up. So they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and finally Klal Yisrael gave up. And then they lost their sovereignty.
What about destroying the Beis HaMikdash causing them to give up?
The Beis HaMikdash is the soul of the people. As long as you have that kesher to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why should you give up? Why should you give up?
That's the right, they should have given up.
Well, if Hashem's dead, then for sure they don't. Because Hashem's alive. Hashem's there.
But it's like, I mean, Lahavdil, Elif Alf Havdalis. The hypocritical of the United States are unbelievable. You know, they talk about proportionate responses, that the Israelis should limit they should limit themselves in protecting themselves against missiles shot at their population centers, because the response of the Israelis kills more of the enemy than the enemy is killing of them. The enemy killed about 70 Tyre Yiddish and Neshamas. And in Gaza there was roughly 2,000 of them. 2,000 of them, of unholy ones. It's disproportionate. When Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, in World War II, they attacked a military base. They did not attack the civilians on the islands. They limited themselves to Pearl Harbor. That's why it's called Pearl Harbor. They had battle cruisers that the kamikaze pilots were assigned. They had assigned battle cruisers and aircraft carriers that the planes were, before they went out on the mission, their goal, their mission was to plow into the deck of that thing. It was a complete attack on the military of the United States. And the civilians on the other side of the island weren't deliberately affected. And the United States proportionately responded by blowing up two cities of Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, with an atomic bomb. Go talk about proportionality. Killed millions of people. Civilians, targeted civilians, because of an attack on a military base. And when the Palestinians in Gaza are targeting civilians, then the Israelis are supposed to limit themselves when responding to Palestinian terrorists or militants or whatever they call themselves. It's such a ilum hashakish and kamayu. But why did the United States bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Because they knew that the Japanese would never give up. And they're going to be embroiled in a conflict with them for who knows how long. But if you take out two of the cities, they're just broken. And they broke them. So Lahavdil, that's what Bavel did to us. They took out our Beis HaMikdash. And they knew, if they didn't take out our Beis HaMikdash, we will never accept them as a king. And they want us to accept them as a king. This is very important to them, by the way. They want us to accept them as a king, because I'll say that until they captured Eretz Yisrael, they were nobodies. They were a made-up, manufactured, synthetically made monarchy. Nebuchadnezzar had no blue royal blood in there. He was not related by DNA to the British royal family at all. And he just got up one day and amassed an army and said he's going to be king. He was desperately looking for some kind of legitimacy as a king. Klal Yisrael is the only one that they're right to be called kings. And if he knocks out the Beis HaMikdash and he takes over Klal Yisrael, so he could take the Jewish crown and put it on his head. Sure, that was why it was so important for him to sit on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. He tried, but he didn't succeed. But why did he try? Because if he's not able to sit on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, so he didn't accomplish anything, because his goal was to be a melech. And the only way to be a melech, if you're not a melech, is to take it away from a true melech. And the only true melech is Klal Yisrael. So Nebuchadnezzar, his goal in destroying, and his entire campaign was to dethrone the kings of Klal Yisrael and put the Jewish crown on his head. Because that people would respect. But Rome, when Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, was Klal Yisrael an independent kingdom. Were they or were they not?
They were under the Greeks.
When Rome destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael was under the Romans. The Greeks handed them off to the Romans. Irregardless of all the fables about this Merida, this rebellion, this Jewish rebellion, it's a laughable thing. There's no Jewish rebellion. It's a made-up thing. They oppressed them, until they finally destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. They didn't have to do that. The Romans were the masters, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have to do that. The Romans were the masters of the Bnei Yisrael before they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Why did they destroy the Beis Hamikdash? They didn't have to break their spirit. They didn't have to show the world that they're the masters. They did that already.
Why didn't they immediately destroy Klal Yisrael then?
The Gemara says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't let them, and then when we finally deserved it, Hashem let them go. They didn't have the choice until Tzinnus came and paved the way for them. So Vim Kimadu Behem. The Maryland South brings this down. It's falsification of history. That the Jews rebelled against the Romans. You think that the Romans destroyed the Beis Hamikdash to stamp out the rebellion? Kedavra Katan. It was a small rebellion. Kemaishi Yadua. We call Makum Vada Yitakas Yidayim. They never achieved full autonomy. There was a rebellion, but it didn't free them. Rusisim Leyei Davis Araklash Kisim. The Romans wanted to destroy them. And the small rebellion was an excuse provided by the Romans for the barbaric campaign against the Yidden. They couldn't do it without justifying it. So a few Yidden rebelled, and they didn't have to do it. They did not have to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. There was a small rebellion. There's other ways of dealing with small rebellions besides destroying the house of worship. Because it came, Malchus reveals Davuk Ben Maheder. They live in a vacuum. That everything has to just disappear. Kshem Malchus is actually safe for Kate Malchus. It's the last of the four. Be Ibud Vehed Lakala Malchus. And all the other nations disappear into this one. You know, once there's Rome, there's no more Babylonia. There's no more Parsimadai. There's no more Greece. It's just they all get swallowed up by Rome. Rome destroys, Rome eliminates, Rome swallows up. Rome doesn't allow anything else to exist. There's no more individual identity. When the Romans came, everybody's under one thing. That's why it had iron teeth. Iron teeth destroy everything. Chop everything apart.
Why were they iron?
Weapons of war and destruction are made out of iron. Iron is affiliated very strongly with swords. So he goes through the different parallels. So we've been through the four animals, the four metals, the four natures, and the Midrash. And the next time we meet, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbar talks about another set of four. Yeah.
What was the four?
So the four here now are the metals.
Nature number one is to be a ruler. Nature number two is to own everything. Everything should come to you. Nature number three is to win, to overcome. And nature number four is to destroy everything.